Hey, Craig Wilkinson here. Welcome to another episode of Dangerous But Good. One of my favorite topics today I'm going to be talking about, and that's the topic of masculinity. Masculinity over the last while, decades in a way, has been really under fire. And it's such a tragedy because 50% of the world approximately is male, is masculine. And we need masculinity to flourish and to thrive and to be everything it was designed to be. True masculinity is a beautiful, wonderful gift to humanity. The weird thing is just saying that in some circles can be construed as controversial. That's insane. How can you say that half the population in the world is designed to be excellent and we say that that's a bad thing to say? And it just goes to show where we've got to on this whole debate and narrative around masculinity. I do a lot of work with high school boys and it's absolutely tragic how much under fire masculinity is and how boys growing up are struggling to be proud of who they are as men. And we need to rectify that. I'll say it again. True masculinity, a beautiful, powerful, wonderful gift to humanity. Obviously can go wrong. And obviously there are abuses of everything, anything that's good. And we've seen that. But if you look at the vast majority of history, men have stood up to what's wrong, fought for what's right, being providers, being wonderful family members, fathers, husbands, brothers, uncles, grandfathers. The vast majority of history, men and women have collaborated, worked together to create the society we live in today. There hasn't been this terrible war of attrition between the male and the female, and this dreadful gender war. That's a narrative that's pushed by people who I think have a different agenda. Now, obviously, we need to address masculinity where it goes wrong. And obviously, we need to address anything where it goes wrong. Any abuse of any sort is wrong. And obviously, we need to 100% stand on the fact that we are human first. Before I'm a man, I'm a human being. And my humanity is more important than my masculinity. Just as in the case of a woman, her humanity is more important than her femininity. And in case of religion and race and nationality, humanity is our primary identity and the most important thing that makes us who we are. And of course, we come from that standpoint. But let's look at masculinity. Masculinity is not toxic. Masculinity is not trash. Masculinity is and always will be a tremendous gift. A tremendous gift to society, a tremendous gift to humanity. We cannot come from the standpoint that masculinity is bad. And so many boys growing up are. There was a survey done not too long ago in the UK by a group called YouGov. They do a lot of surveys. And they asked men of different ages, is masculinity a good thing or a bad thing? 44% of the men in the category from 18 to 24 years old said that masculinity is a negative thing. That's a major, major tragedy. If a boy grows up believing that masculinity is bad, how is he going to pitch up? How on earth is he going to pitch up? He's a man. He has masculinity embedded in his DNA. And I just want to say to every man and every boy listening to this podcast, in your DNA, in your veins is a rich history of, a rich heritage of heroism. You go back, I love the example of the Titanic, man. The Titanic over 100 years ago sank, tragedy, major tragedy, one of the biggest tragedies of the time. And if you look at what happened on that Titanic, because of the times that it was, there were a lot more men on that ship than there were women. But look at the percentages of men and the percentages of women that died. 75% of the men on that ship drowned, perished. 19% of the women perished. Now, why is that? If we come from the standpoint that masculinity is toxic, I guarantee not a single woman would have survived that journey because the men would have used their superior physical strength to toss the woman overboard and grab their place on the lifeboat. But instead of doing that, they gave up their place on the lifeboat and they put women and children first. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. That's self-sacrificial. That's giving. That is what true masculinity is. Masculinity loves, serves, honors, protects, provides to the best of its ability. It steps up and stands up. Someone said once that the opposite of masculinity is not femininity, it is passivity. Men are not designed to be passive. We're designed to take a stand for what's right and to stand against what's wrong. And that's the beauty of masculinity. If you look at the 9/11 crisis, another crisis where men stepped up, 330 first responders died that day. 300 of those were men. Heroic men. Of course women are heroic. And we're not talking about that. We're not dissing women. This is not an either-or thing. We often see this the gender war as this kind of zero-sum game, and it's absolutely not. men and women, equally important, equally valuable, equally important roles to play, but different. And we're talking today about men. 300 first responders rushed into that burning building, sacrificed their lives sacrificially to help and to save others. Masculinity is a gift, man. It's a gift. But men and women are different. And, you know, there again, just saying that can cause controversy in some circles, and that's insane. Men and women are different. And let me just double down on those statements. Masculinity is a beautiful gift. Men are different from women. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. We're not superior to women, not at all, but different. Different gifts, different talents. So, you know, I talk about if we think that all the problems in the world are caused because there's an imbalance of power, we've got the narrative completely wrong. When a man and a woman get together, the man is generally physically stronger than the woman. That's an imbalance of power. And of course, it can go horribly wrong. If the man misuses that, it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. But if a man doesn't and he uses that to serve and love and protect, it's a beautiful gift. And so let's talk about what a man is and what makes a man a good man. Firstly, the differences. And there's so many examples to cite. There's so many. I mean, I do a lot of work in communities around the country. And, you know, when you go into the community, the community elders and the gatekeepers often chat to them and say, you know, where do you find the men? I tell you where you find the men. You find the men on a Saturday watching or playing sport or tragically sitting in a tavern getting drunk, but watching sport in the tavern. Young kids, and the research is very clear on this, young kids, boys are 10 times more likely to engage in self-organized sport than women, than young girls. It's just a driver of the masculine soul. A book I love, Wild at Heart by John Eldridge, talks about the drivers of the masculine soul. And he says there are three primary drivers of the masculine soul. One is the desire for a battle to fight. Men love a good battle, and it doesn't have to be a physical battle. It can be a battle of the wits, a chess game. It can be, you know, a game that you play virtually, but we love a battle. A battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to pursue. And you look at adventure, you know, men and women around the fire, around the cooking pot, talk about different things to each other. Women generally talk more about relational issues. It's unlikely to come to a braai or a chisanyama with a group of men and we get into the soppy conversation about how's Jack doing? You know, I know he had a breakup recently. No, not that he did, but we don't generally go there. Women do, you know, women do, and it's beautiful. Women tend to be more relational. They're the glue that holds society together. The matriarch is the one who organizes the family lunches and the family gathers. And when she passes, you know, the men are very bad at keeping in touch. And that's a beautiful gift that women bring. Men love adventure. We talk about how, you know, did you see Jack got chased by a bull the other day? It was, you know, we that's the kind of thing that men talk about. You know, battle, adventure, and the pursuit of beauty. This is what you look at the movies that men love. I don't know about you guys, but I find it difficult to choose a movie with my wife. We just end up taking turns because the kind of movie I want to watch is different to the kind she wants to watch. You know, I generally often fall asleep when it's her turn, and she kind of double screens when it's my turn. You know, there's a day, and it's beautiful. And the movies that men choose always have those three components: the battle to fight, man, the evil that needs to be overcome, the comet that's coming towards the planet Earth, and we need to fight. You know, there's a fight, a war of some sort, you know, a sporting event. There's some kind of battle. There's adventure, the car chase, the mayhem, you know, and there's always the beauty. And there's always the reason why we're doing this. You know, it's because of the beauty that we want to win our heart. And these things are beautiful. Battle, adventure, and beauty. And if you think about it, if every man used his desire for a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to pursue, and used it well, we'd live in paradise. If every man said, you know, I'm gonna fight against whatever's wrong in society. I'm going to stand against racism, against abuse, against corruption, against whatever threatens society. I'm going to stand. That's my battle, noble battle. We wouldn't need a police force. We wouldn't need an army. Countries would not be at war because we'd be standing for and fighting for what's right. It's wired into the heart of man to stand for what's right. You look at the history of, no matter where you come from, Africa, Asia, Eurasia, Australasia, you know, Americas, embedded in our culture as men is a battle. You know, Xhosas and Zulus have stick fighting. You know, British have arm wrestling. We all have soccer and sport. And, you know, it's a battle. This is a battle. Chess battles, you know. And it's interesting, if you look at even chess, you know, if you look at the top 100 chess grandmasters, I'm not sure the exact percentage, but it's over 90% are men. And it's not because women don't have equal brains to men. It's because men like the battle. Men want to step up and fight the battle. They're more driven to do that. And that's how nature is wired. And it's a beautiful thing if we use it well. Imagine if every man used his desire for an adventure to live a life bigger than just paying the bills and just paying the bond, just building his own little turf and said, you know what, I'm a dad, but I'm going to, there are many young boys who need mentoring. I'm going to mentor them. I'm going to have a bigger life. You know? And imagine if every man said, my desire to pursue the beauty, I'm going to pursue the beauty and I'm going to win her heart. I'm going to be loyal and faithful and committed to that one beauty. You know, we'd live in paradise. It's a battle, adventure, and beauty. But there's a problem because men, boys growing up, have certain emotional needs, and there's much that wounds the heart of a boy on his journey to manhood. Much. If you look at the three major role players in a boy's life, in a journey from boy to man, it's his father, it's his mother, and it's society. And very often a boy on his journey to manhood becomes wounded in his masculinity. To his father, a boy asks the question, Dad, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes? Am I man enough? And he needs the father or older men to answer the question very much in the affirmative, to say, son, you have got what it takes. You're the man. You've got what it takes to fight the battles that the world will require of you, to win the heart of the beauty, to live a big life, to leave a legacy. You've got what it takes, my son. You don't have to play the man to be the man. You are the man. And boys need to hear that from older men. And if they don't hear that, particularly from their father, and preferably the biological father, but it can be a stepfather, it can be an uncle, an older brother, it can be any older group of older men. If he doesn't hear that enough, he grows up with a sense of inadequacy. I'm not enough. I don't have what it takes. And that plays out in all kinds of crazy ways. It plays out often in passivity. He doesn't feel he is enough, so he doesn't step up. He withdraws into all kinds of addictions and all kinds of negative behavior because he doesn't feel like he has what it takes to be the man. It also can manifest in aggression, this need to prove myself. I don't feel adequate, so I have to conquer. I have to dominate. I can never say I'm sorry. I have to win in business, win in sport, and sometimes I have to be a bully. I can never be humble because I have to prove that I'm the man. You know, aggression and passivity are not true masculinity. A whole man knows that he doesn't have to prove his manhood. He just has to be that man. He has to fight noble battles, live a big adventure, and love and serve and honor and protect and provide. And that's a whole man. So the father can inflict a wound on his son very deeply by just not being there, by basically giving the message that you're only good when you perform. That's just going to bring a performance orientation to the son. You know, the only praise he ever gets is when he gets a good report card or he scores a goal in the soccer team. That gives the boy the message that only when you perform, you're good enough. A boy needs to grow up with a message from his father, a loving message. My son, you're the man, and I want you to be the best you can possibly be, but it's not reliant on that. You are the man. You're enough. A mother can deeply hurt her son too. You know, mothers, the heart of a mother is to protect. It's to nurture. And you think about the big question on a boy's heart, it's, do I have what it takes? And he might go to his mom one day and say, Mom, I want to climb that tree. And the mom's natural instinct is to say, no, it's dangerous. Don't do that. And by doing that too much, by smothering him too much, protecting him too much, by making his sandwiches too much, making his bed too much, not allowing him to or really forcing him out of the nest to do stuff for himself, she's giving him the message that, no, you don't have what it takes. You need to be coddled. You need to be mothered. I don't trust you to climb the tree because you're going to hurt yourself. See, a dad will say, hey, my son, climb the tree. You know, if you fall, I'll catch you. If I miss, I'll take you to the clinic. You know, that's the dad. He's giving the son permission to get out there and be the man. And the mom tends to smother with love. And the wound of a mother's hard to determine or hard to identify because it generally comes across as loving. But over-loving and over-protecting can damage a boy. A boy needs permission to get out there and be wild and be the man. And society. Society gives men many wrong messages. Five messages, really, society gives young boys. To be a man, you need to have lots of sex. You need to have lots of power. You need to have lots of money. You cannot cry or be vulnerable, and men are trash. Sex, power, money, big boys don't cry, and men are trash. These are terrible messages that society gives men. So boys grow up thinking that, you know what, the more of a player I am, the more of a man I am. The more sexual conquest I have, that makes me a man. And the opposite is true. You know, the man who's faithful and committed and loyal and honest and faithful, that's a true man, a man who can resist temptation, a man who doesn't need to be affirmed in his masculinity by sleeping with a woman. He knows who he is. He doesn't need his masculinity to be confirmed by a woman. Someone beautifully once said that don't arouse desire until you're ready to fulfill the commitment that comes with that. And that's a beautiful principle, you know, for men. And we're not taught that power. You know, power's got nothing to do with masculinity. Resilience, strength, or courage, these are important things. But it doesn't, your position of power doesn't make you a man. Your money doesn't make you a man. Someone once said beautifully, and I've quoted this before, the poorest man can leave behind the richest legacy. Because he steps up and he loves and he cares and he does the things that men should do. Big boys don't cry is another devastating narrative. You know, men commit suicide 4 times more than women. Why? Because, well, one of the reasons is we don't share. We're not vulnerable. We're not able to get help for the areas we need help in. And men are trash. What an absolute crock of lies. You know, if we teach boys that they're trash, chances are they're going to be trash. They're certainly going to grow up with a very low self-esteem and not pitch up as men. So we need to look at men differently. We need to have a narrative around masculinity that's powerfully positive, that's affirming. You see, one of the things that men require or ask or desire most in life is respect. We often think that in the popular narrative, the things that men want from most from women is sex. It's not. It's respect. Men crave respect. And we crave respect because we need to know that we've got what it takes to step up and stand up and be the man that the world needs us to be. And that's what we crave. So what makes a man? I'm going to run quickly through just 6 principles, underlying virtues that make a man a good man. One is men use their strength well. I mentioned earlier that often a wounded man will be passive, fail to use his strength. A wounded man might become aggressive, misuse his strength. But true masculinity is defined by how I use the strength that I have, how I use the money I have, how I use the time I have. How do I use what I've got to be of benefit to the world? Number one definition of a man, you use your strength for good. Number two definition is you define yourself by your character, by what's inside, not the image and the externalities, not the car I drive, the woman I have on my arm, the school my kids go to. You know, we live in a world that's so image-driven. Social media has made us concerned way more about our image than actually our character. True masculinity looks inside. What are my values? And you can tell what a man values by how he spends his time and how he spends his money. If a man says, I value my family so deeply, but he spends all his waking hours on the golf course or in the tavern, does he? His actions are speaking louder than his words. By his time, what he spends his time or what he spends his money, he's displaying to the world what he values. So true masculinity values itself, defines itself by its character, what's inside. Do I have a set of values? Do I stick to those values? Am I a man of integrity? Do I say no to the bribe, no to the brown envelope, no to the temptation? Because I know that what makes me a man is what's inside. The third thing that makes a man is he takes responsibility. He steps up and he takes full responsibility for his life and for all his roles and responsibilities. We're living in a world now which focuses way more on what my rights are than what my responsibilities are. And rights and responsibilities are 2 sides of the same coin. I cannot enjoy my rights unless you fulfill your responsibilities. And you cannot enjoy your rights unless I fulfill my responsibilities. Every woman has the right to safety. But it depends on the men fulfilling their responsibility to act righteously towards those women, to create a safe environment for them. And so we as men need to step up and take full responsibilities. We need to stop blaming. We need to stop complaining. We need to stop being entitled. We need to stop being lazy. We need to stop making excuses. We need to step up and just take responsibility. The fourth thing that men do is they build a band of brothers around them. We as men cannot do this walk alone. We need each other. We need other men to point out where we are failing and to sharpen us. We need brothers to be mirrors to us, to say, hey, dude, that's not okay. And we need to respond. We sharpen each other. There's a beautiful verse in the Bible that says, iron sharpens iron. And men need to be that iron to each other, to sharpen each other and keep ourselves or each other online. We need to be able to be vulnerable with brothers. So often when a group of men get together, it's all posturing and posing and, you know, hey, brother, how are you doing? I'm great, man. One of the biggest lies that men say is, I'm fine, when they're not fine. We need to be able to not be fine and have brothers around us who are there to support us in our vulnerabilities, and brothers who we're able to be vulnerable with. We need to sharpen each other, vulnerable with each other, support each other, and just be there for each other as brothers. Every man needs a band of brothers. Number five, what men do is they mentor the next generation. Whether we like it or not, we are being watched as men. There are younger men looking at us to see how to do this thing called life and this thing called masculinity. And as men, we need to step up and live a life that's worth emulating, live a life that's worth copying. There's a beautiful story of a guy who used to come in from the pub every night, from work, drop his bag and head off to the pub. This was his daily routine. And one day he's sitting in the pub and he feels this tugging at his elbow, and he looks down and there's his five-year-old son. And he says to his son, How did you find me? He said, Dad, it was easy. I just followed your footprints in the sand from the house to the tavern. And the man had this revelation. He realized, you know, I'm leaving footprints and they're leading right now to the tavern. And where do I want them to live, to lead? And so we as men need to mentor the next generation. And finally, and this is probably encapsulates all of them, as men, we need to make the world a better place. You can judge a man's character by the impact he has on the people in his life. How do you treat the car guard? How do you treat your wife, your girlfriend, your colleagues? How do you treat the waiter in the restaurant? How do you treat the people in your life that don't have any power in your life, but they're fellow human beings? Is your country a better country because you're in it? Is your home a better home? Are your children better off because you're in their lives? Is your wife a better woman because you're in their lives? Are your friends better human beings because you're in their lives? Is your environment better because you're in it? You know, are you an activist that makes the world a better place? And as men, that's our mandate. Our mandate is to come into this world and make sure the world we leave is better than the world we found when we entered it. That's masculinity. What a beautiful gift. Men, you have power. You have strength. You have testosterone coursing through your veins. You have a rich heritage of heroism and activism. And as men, we need to realize that and be proud of who we are and proudly step up to the plate and be the man that the world needs us to be. So I hope this is an encouragement to young men and to men, and an encouragement to women too, to realize that if there's been any abuse, if there's been any misbehavior in men in your life, that's not what masculinity is. That's not what men are supposed to be. And I'd really encourage women to look at masculinity different. Don't accept or tolerate false masculinity. If a man's not making you a better person because they're in your life, question that relationship. But also, woman, please don't punish the good men that are in your life now for the behavior of the bad men who were in your life before. Let's relook at masculinity. And men, let's take the challenge. Let's step up. Be proud of who we are, but use our masculinity well to make the world a better place. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time.